Hey guys, and we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Dan Cushell. He is an expert in helping companies gain more sales. Hey, Dan.
How are you?
I'm doing great. We just spoke before the show a little bit because I do, you know, some research on all the guests. And Dan is from that old school crowd, you know, which is a good thing. You know, these are like the guys that most of us started off like learning, you know, like Joe Polish and Dan Kennedy, Gary Halbert. It seems like Dan's from that same school. And it's super interesting, you know, in this day and age, how a lot of these methods still hold true, you know, that used to work back then, but how a lot were just hearsay, you know. And I think Dan said he can help debunk some of these old things that, you know, we still hear from 50, 60 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, it's so true, Tom. And, you know, obviously, you know, with what you do with Smart Brand Marketing and, you know, helping people create and develop courses and sell those courses, at the end of the day, you know, the big mistake people make, I think, is they fall in love with tactics, right?
Yeah.
You know, the latest fads, the latest, you know, tic tacs, if you will, and tactics that, you know, come and go like the wind. You know, what will always win is strategy. And, you know, fall in love with strategy. That's the number one thing that somebody can do to set the stage the right way for the long term.
What do you mean by strategy?
Well, strategy is your overriding, you know, philosophy. It's the psychology, right? Like if I had to describe it in today's terms, you know, the people who are going to be successful in business are going to merge psychology with technology, right? The technology are the tactics. The psychology will be your strategy, your overarching strategy. Like, for example, like let's go to an old school simple idea, right? If you take a $1 bill and a $100 bill and you put them up on top of each other, interestingly enough, they're the exact same size. Like as you're listening right now, have you ever thought, golly, I've got so much competition? You know, all these companies say they're the same thing or do the same kind of thing. In other words, they're the same size. Interestingly enough, a $1 bill and a $100 bill are the same weight. They have the same color ink. There's only one unique difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill. What is it? It's your offer. It's your message on the paper. When you can tell a better, when you have a better offer, when you have a better message, you can get 100 times the results when you make that one shift. So where does that start? It starts with your market, right? It's focusing on, you know, a great lie that will send you down the wrong path in marketing or sales or building your business and growing is, you know, find a need and fill it. Biggest lie, one of the biggest lies in the world. Yet how many thousands of people are following that lie and going broke doing it? So it's not find a need and fill it. It's find a want and fill it. In other words, find a hungry market for what you are offering. You know, there's a lot of people who need to lose weight, but they don't want to lose weight. So if you go try to convince somebody who doesn't want to lose weight, you're beating down the wrong door. On the other hand, if you meet somebody who wants to lose weight, it's a whole lot easier to sell them. Like one of my good friends, his name is Joel Weldon. Dan Kennedy, you brought up Dan. He used to tell stories about Joel. He was the number one salesman for a company called Nightingale Conant years ago. And what he would do is he'd walk in literally door to door and he'd ask the people at the front office, do you have a library of personal development programs? And if they said no, he would immediately walk out the door, right? So find a hungry market who wants what it is, wants the solution to what you offer. Now, here's another problem. Most people focus on, you know, they think that they're in the solution business. And that is accurate to a degree. But more importantly, people care about the problem you solve first before you promote the solution that you offer. So the number two thing to focus on beyond your market is then to go, okay, getting real clarity, Tom, and you're great at this, like in the work that I've seen that you do, what is the problem that you ultimately are going to solve It's either make money, save money, time, you know, relieve pressure, relieve pain. What is the pain or the problem or the challenge or the danger that you help eliminate, reduce, or maximize, you know, on the other side of it? So get clear on the problem that you solve for your clients. Then you can come up with a simple, irresistible offer. You know, Tom, when I got started back in 1992, that was when I started my first company. You mentioned old school, right? I learned a lot in the late 80s. See, we didn't have the internet back then. I literally cut my teeth working for a direct response marketing company that, you know, worked in direct mail, TV, and radio. And I have to tell you, Tom, you know, I was in my late teens, early 20s coming up through this, and I got so fascinated, probably like you in your own way, like by how you could put a message out and people would just respond to it. Like, it was amazing. It not only did it happen like with direct mail and people would send money, but then, you know, on TV, we saw similar type of things, radio ads, we saw similar things. And so I started studying this stuff, and that became, for me, even though I had gone through college, it became my PhD program. And I started getting involved in, you know, learning from some of the top experts in the world, the people you mentioned, you know, people like Dan Kennedy, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins. These were a lot of my Brian Tracy. These were a lot of my original coaches, even all the way back in the early 90s.
Hey, I still remember having CDs that I listened to in the car going on sales calls with these guys.
Yes, exactly. Me too.
Yeah, we went through a similar, I think, boot camp. I mean, I didn't go through the direct, but I did sales. You know, I did outside sales, inside sales, retail sales, a lot of them for years, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that made me super curious about direct response and things like that is, how can I double what I'm doing or triple it, right? Because as a sales guy, at some point you realize you can only hit 60 doors in a day.
Yes.
Or, you know, there's a limit to how many people you can contact. But if you could double that through a good ad or a newsletter, right, you could potentially hit 1,000 or 10,000 people in that same amount of time. And that was an amazing breakthrough, which, you know, happened probably after, you know, a long day of walking around in Brooklyn trying to sell things.
Yes.
And then the other thing I realized, and it's another thing which you can do through the internet now, is residual and recurring, right? Because I worked for an insurance company, and I used to sell all the time. You know, I'd get my payment. You know, it was decent, between $1,000 to $4,000 a sale. But then I realized these guys are making probably $400,000 over the next 40 years from the same thing I sold. You know, and I was like, if I can duplicate that on a small scale, I don't need to worry about money ever again. Because once I sell something, if I can make it recurring, that's a gold mine. And once again, you know, it was a basketball game with a bunch of other insurance guys. And some guy's like, you know, screw this company. I was like, why? They're making so much money off of ours. And he explained it to me. And I was like, it was like a light bulb just went in my head. I was like, what? You're right. We're getting screwed here. Like, I thought I was getting pretty good cash. But at that moment, I realized I'm getting ripped off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the holy grail is, of course, I mean, one, you got to have a sustainable, because how many people struggle to build a steady flow of clients or leads and on a daily basis? And then the other part is, how do you build a recurring revenue stream? In other words, how do you put yourself in a position to do the work once and get paid over and over and over again? Today's technology, today's marketplace, like what you show people how to do with, you know, marketing online courses, gives you the ability to take advantage of some of the tools. And the little guy, more than ever, has the ability to compete if they take the time to learn how to do it. You know, going back to old school, there's an old guy, Gary Halbert. I love the quote from Gary. He says, you know, there's no correlation between being good and getting paid, right? And a lot of us think, oh, if I've got a good product or I've got a certain wisdom or a certain expertise, oh, I just deserve to get paid. Well, the reality is there's no correlation between being good at anything and getting paid. You know, it comes down to, you know, again, you know, we believe it's how you back, you know, your market, are they hungry for it? Then how do you package that up And how do you create an irresistible offer out in the marketplace? So, yeah, it's fascinating to see how things change, but so many things stay the same.
I think the last thing you mentioned is the toughest for almost everyone I deal with. And the reason I'm usually okay with creating offers is because of the sales experience, right? So
yes,
just knowing how I took thousands of people through the sales process, and I can fairly easily duplicate that online, but I don't see that happening a lot or barely ever, especially with my clients. You know, getting that offer out, and there's a book, you know, how to create your irresistible offer, and there's another one on headlines that's mentioned in that book, and then you can go down the rabbit hole going down all these books by these old school guys. But that's such a hard thing to do, don't you think, Dan?
Oh, yeah. And I think it comes back to, you know, the way we've been taught, Tom, and, you know, one of the challenges, like, for example, here's another really big lie that I think holds a lot of people back. It becomes a bottleneck, you know, right? Have you ever heard, as you're listening right now, have you ever heard that, you know, to get people to buy from you, they must know you, like you, and trust you, right? If you're following that path, you're going to hit a roadblock. And here's why. And, you know, I won't speak about you as you're listening as an entrepreneur, but I'll speak about my experience as an entrepreneur. And it just so happens I've interviewed literally close to 10,000 entrepreneurs, and I see a lot of similar traits between them. And that's this. So I started my very first company in 1992, right? And I have personally had a tendency to be a people pleaser. Right. As you're listening, right? Do you know anybody that's a people pleaser? If you're an entrepreneur, do you have some of the traits of being a people pleaser? Well, my experience says that over 70% of entrepreneurs have tendencies or traits of being people pleasers. So if you're following this old, outdated model of they must know you, like you, and trust you, and you're a people pleaser, what does that mean? You're going to constantly be chasing the tail of like all these customized options and not really replicating something that gives you the ability to build a long-term business model, right? Because you're always constantly swaying to like, oh, I got to get people to like me, right? And I fell into this trap, and I struggled for so, so long. So the new way to really think about this, I'm not saying that know, like, and trust isn't valuable. There's a part of it is, but I believe just that as the holy grail, like a lot of experts have, you know, share it out there, and many continue to share it. If you follow that 100%, it's a half truth. It's just like when I was a kid, Tom, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we had these manual transmission cars, stick shifts, and you had these timing belts, and the timing belt on a manual transmission, if it was like a quarter inch off, the car would stall. If it was an inch off or three quarters of an inch off, the car would not run. Right. So the timing belt was there. The engine was there. The car was, everything was there. But if it was just a quarter inch off in the timing, the car would not run. So what if you following that old school technique, and there's many of them, but this is another example where no, they must know me, like me, and trust me before they'll buy from me. And you really buy into that and are leveraging that strategy. Well, is it any wonder if you're struggling, why you're struggling? Because it's not know, like, and trust. The paradigm that proves to work by all accounts in every business model today is not know, like, and trust. It's trust and respect. And it's trust and respect. Now, Tom is an example with his show here. He's got a method and a model where he can elevate trust and respect and speed up the buying cycle. Why? He's positioned as an authority with his show. That's respect. Trust, he can bridge the gap because you can listen to dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, almost hundreds of hours of interviews of him leaning and connecting with the top experts around in all kinds of different business categories. So he's got trust, and he's also got an authority respect position. See, what if you shifted your game and you had trust and respect? What would it do for you in your business, right? And so these are a few things that I find fascinating, like you do, Tom, to help people make more money, get more sales, get more leads, you know, really build us a long-term steady business model.
Yeah, and that's the main thing I always say that the website should be doing for you. If it's not helping whoever's coming to your site trust you and respect you, there's nothing there. You know, it's worthless. Because that's the whole point, right? It's supposed to do that work for you. Instead of you speaking to every person one by one, the website should be doing that for you. So I had a client that came on yesterday, and he basically seen my domain somewhere, looked on the website, said, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about, and just pulled the trigger. You know, it's that simple. I mean, it's not that simple, but it is, right?
Yes.
So I had explained it to him too, because he asked me later on. He's like, we got on a quick call to start off, and he says, like, Tom, I don't get why I pulled the trigger so quick. And I was like, look, there was a method to a madness, and I help people implement this in their online course sales too. You know, I only showed you the stuff I would show you if you were talking in person. I was trying to sell you. That's it. Nothing else. There's no fluff. I'm taking you down that journey, the sales journey. And obviously the podcasts and the documentary I've done before, if you look me up on, you know, on Google, it helps. It helps a lot. But some of it is not as necessary as just some good testimonials and a really good flow of the website, just to, you know, kind of walk people through, have, you know, holding their hands and, you know, asking some questions. You know, it's so easy to do now. You can ask your visitors, like, you know, are you interested in this or that? James Shramko is a really good example of that on his website. And, you know, you can lead people down in these little buckets and they feel like, oh, wow, he knows what I want. He's interested. But you're not actually there.
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of these old sayings. And, yeah, trust and respect. Yeah. You know, the one that I don't like that a lot of people are saying now is authenticity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and my reason for that is I think of online business as a business, not just online business, right? So I'm more interested in the professional than someone that's authentic. Because imagine if a surgeon in the middle of whatever he was doing said, like, you know, I'm being authentic right now and I don't feel like finishing what I'm doing because I am, you know, whatever, like I'm being authentic. I don't want that. I want a professional. I don't care how you're feeling. I want you to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, a lot of misunderstandings, the myths, you know, just really cost us a lot in business. You know, like, for example, you know, as you're listening right now, you know, what is like your definition of selling, right? Even go to your core, like, you know, could that be enough that's holding you back as you're listening right now, right? Like if you have an outdated, unhealthy relationship to even like what is selling, right? Or what is marketing, it may be the thing that's holding you back. And just making that shift, right? And sometimes just the simplest shifts can have the biggest transformation. So like, you know, what is selling? So if you date it back, I think a version originated back in the Netherlands. And a root definition of selling is simply serving, right? Another version that may be able to serve you as you're listening right now around selling is, you know, selling is influence, right? Another version I love from Dan Sullivan, Tom, which, you know, from Strategic Coach, he's a founder of Strategic Coach. He says, selling is getting someone intellectually engaged in a future result that's good for them so they can emotionally commit to take action to achieve that result, right? So like, what if, and one of my early coaches, Tom, shared, you know, his name was Tom Hopkins. He said, selling is simply helping people. So think about it. Like, just that one definition, if you have a healthy definition or a healthy relationship to sales or marketing and versus person B, and person B, like, oh, selling is hard, selling is manipulating, selling is evil, selling is whatever, fill in the blank, that's kind of a negative false belief. Mm. Is it any wonder why some people struggle at something like, oh, they could build the greatest course in the world. They could even, you know, do all the techniques right or the tactics right. But again, it comes back to the strategy or the focus or the mindset, the psychology first, and then the rest of it. It's almost like an inside out proposition, right? Now, as you're listening, I don't want to leave you hanging with marketing. So what is marketing? Marketing is storytelling, right? Those companies that tell a better story, either about their founders or about what their product or their program or their company, typically will have a better impact, a bigger reach, more income as a result. Another version of marketing is, you know, what you do to get somebody on the phone or face-to-face with you and they're pre-qualified, pre-motivated, pre-interested, and ready to do business. Well, you know, it's kind of like what Tom just mentioned related to the website, right? Is your messaging compelling somebody and giving them reasons that you're the definitive choice to solve this problem, right? And it's a supporting tool. So anyway, I didn't mean to, you know, jump in there, Tom, but I thought that that would be a really good tie-in also about the psychology piece that you asked about earlier and tying in what you shared too.
I think it's super interesting. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, if you think, and I do have clients like this, actually a lot of them, that think sales is, you know, they don't want to be salesy. And I always wonder, yep, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, what do you mean not being salesy? Like, I don't even get that. Like, if I really think deeply, and I've been when you've been talking about what sales are to me, that's just a transfer of emotion and value. All it is to me. So I have no problems doing that. Like, why would I have problems with transferring emotion and value? I'm just trying to get someone on the same page as me emotionally and show them there's value in that. That's it.
Yes. Yep.
It's so simple. And if you know, that's not being salesy or whatever right. that means.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, think about that. Like, I just, you know, having worked with thousands of business owners and all kinds of our different coaching programs, education programs over almost 30 years now, I have never met anybody who struggled like with the psychology of like what is selling or marketing for them that has ever like had a long-term impact. If they have a negative belief system or a false belief system around that simple psychology, the strategy of marketing or selling, they ultimately won't have success. So if you're stuck in your business right now, and maybe you've got like certain things in a row, you've got a good course, you understand traffic, but you're still struggling, you might want to go back to even the basic psychology of like, what's your version, like what's your feeling around the idea of selling, the idea of marketing? If you can clean that up, you might just find yourself getting your next big break. I mean, there's a lot of other technique. I mean, you teach a great program on courses, Tom. So you just like when you're healthy and you're whole in this area of the mindset and the psychology, the strategy around these couple things, then it makes all those other things better. But like if you've tried a lot of other things and it's still you haven't cracked the code, you might want to check in with even just this basic fundamental thing, like what is selling and what is marketing to you? And if it's not healthy or if it's maybe an old, outdated, potential false belief, what would happen if you had it more empowering and more serving and more healthy, like what Tom just said, the transfer of emotion and belief? Like, how great would that be for you? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, you mentioned you've coached or spoke to like 10 or 10,000 plus business people.
Yeah.
If you were to give us maybe just an 80-20 on some of the most important things that hold people back, I think that would be super interesting to the listeners.
Well, I think we just hit on a couple, right?
Yeah.
It would be, you know, these couple here right out of the gate. Another one I think is, you know, if you get clear on focused on that hungry market and who that really is, right? What problem do you really solve? Then it comes down to your messaging. Like, in other words, your irresistible offer, right? Like my first business that I started, and so I share this because it's kind of accidental as I now look back on it almost 30 years ago. I'm like, oh, wow, I learned a lot at an early age, almost by accident, by following and paying attention to what others were doing and then modeling it. You know, like my original business, Tom, I worked with health club owners. And so we'd come, like if you were a health club owner, we'd come to you, Tom, and we'd go, you know, hey, Tom, if we could guarantee you that we're going to bring you a couple hundred clients in the next 90 days or less, and it won't cost you anything up front, and my company will actually pay to run ads on TV, radio, and we'll also do direct mail. And then once we make money, we'll split the profits with you. Would you be open to that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty irresistible offer, right? You know, and so like, let's unpack that just a little bit. And as you're listening right now, how can you create your irresistible offer? So a way to think about it, you know, I think guys like Frank Kern, Dean Jackson, these are also potentially considered old school guys. But the strategy still plays true, which is how can you go out and help your clients see a result in advance, right? One, it starts by leading by example. Two, it's being able to actually truly, truly help your clients, right? See, if you can help your clients, well, then simply go help your clients. And in the beginning, if you're brand new or you're kind of stuck or you're looking for that next level of momentum, go out and get 3 to 5 new case studies or success stories that you build with whatever it is your superpowers are. and then create those success stories. And now that becomes your, you know, your messaging or your offer. And you could say, we have clients. Like one of my clients right now is, somebody who specializes in helping people permanently eliminate anxiety in 10 days or less. She's amazing, right? So her proposition is, do you struggle with anxiety? Well, if I could show you a way to permanently eliminate anxiety in 10 days or less with some simple things that will take you less than 15 minutes a day, would you want to know about it? Right? That's a version of her irresistible offer. So as you're listening, how could you package up your irresistible offer? Another client of ours, he works in the stem cell industry. And this is more of a private client. So his business is helping doctors, chiropractors, those doing plastic surgery to develop a steady flow in an automated way without them having to sell personally, but being able to generate, six figures additional streams of income a month, right? So a version of his irresistible, hey, if we could show you a way where with no risk on your end, we could hand you a proven presentation that can produce six figures and fill up your workshops, fill up your dinner meetings, fill up your educational events once, twice, three times, four times a month, right? Would you be open to it? And so they go in and basically a lot of his clients get a 4, 5, 6, 10 to 1 ROI, return on investment, but by working with it. But it starts with that hook of like hooking to their problem. What do they struggle with? And like, even if you look at Tom's website, are you having trouble marketing your online course? So for Tom, as much as it's attracting somebody going, yeah, if you're having trouble marketing your online, I can show you. But on the other end, it's also repelling those people who don't have an online course or have zero interest in it, right? So what is your, as you're looking at, focus on coming up with your irresistible offer. Another version, Tom, that I could go through just time permitting is a framework to go deeper than, the avatar. Here's another lie, you've got to know your client and do the avatar exercise. And there's some truth to it. But again, I think it's more of a half truth. There are deeper layers of this. I think I really got clear on this from old school guys like Ogilvy, another friend named Michael Fishman, who's amazing at what he does. He runs HealthCon, BehaviorCon, a few other conferences as well. And, he talks about behavior, and there's surface level communication on behavior, and then there's deeper. And he isolates it into three distinct categories: what people tell you, what they won't tell you, and what they can't tell you, right? And most of us, though, are playing the game on the surface of what they do tell us. So how do you get to the deeper, true emotional level where you talked about transferring emotion? We can say that, but how do you actually get there? So here's a simple exercise, and there's a lot more to this, but I want to give, as you're listening right here, you're going to have some immediate take-home value, right? There's four layers that we'll talk about today to unpack your irresistible offer. So number one is identify what is your unique market. Number two, what is your unique message? Number three, what is your unique method? And number four, what is your unique offer? And there, you kind of go through this step by step. So let me just give you a couple examples of this, of clients and examples of we've studied and different things like that. So for example, a guy named Dave Asprey. His company's on track to do over $100 million this year, and he's in one of the most ultra-competitive industries and niches in the whole world, which is coffee, right? So imagine you're starting a business or you have a business, and you go, oh my gosh, I'd be more successful if I didn't have all this. Well, Dave walked into like one of the most commoditized, literally, industries in the world, and his company in like less than 10 years is going to do $100 million this year. So let's unpack these four steps for his business. So his unique market are fitness enthusiasts who drink coffee. That had never been marketed to the way he does it ever before. Fitness enthusiasts who drink coffee. Next level, unique message. What's his unique message? His unique message is get fit while you drink coffee. Get fit while you, that had never been done before. Then his unique method is a technique called adding grass-fed butter to your coffee and other things and your foods, right? So even if you don't drink his product or use his product, if you're applying the add grass-fed butter to these products or your coffee, you're actually using the technique he gets credit for. And then his unique offer to, was bulletproof coffee, and maybe you've heard it. If not, no big deal. You can go check out Dave. He's got an amazing, you know, array of different offerings today. And that's now transcended from bulletproof coffee all by itself to bulletproof 360 strategies, right? So what could you do to create your unique market, your unique message, your unique method of how you deliver that outcome, breakthrough, result, and transformation for a client, and then your unique offer? Another example, Joe Polish, who was a client with Genius Network. And Joe, we went through this process, identified his unique market or entrepreneurs who are doing at least $1 million a year in business, who value contribution and connection, right? Those two critical distinctions along with the revenue. His unique message to achieve that, he helps reduce suffering for entrepreneurs. Nobody had really ever taken that angle with the message that way before. His unique method to deliver it is something he calls the return on genius process or genius networking, right? So all of us have the ability to do genius networking. Tom and I right now are demonstrating genius networking as we're connecting and figuring out ways we can help each other, right? We all do that. Now, Joe's specific offer is something called Genius Network and his Genius Network annual event, right? Now, Joe put this in place and he grew, and once there was a lot of clarity, and there were other factors too, but he literally tripled his business as part of the process of getting more clarity around these four key areas. So again, as you're listening right now, what would have to happen for you to get clarity on your unique market? Right. If you're saying, oh, we can market to everybody, wrong answer. You're going down the wrong path. Narrow it down. Niche down to really have a bigger impact, to grow up, to profit more, et cetera. You'll attract others outside of the niche. I can promise you that if you have any kind of impact at all. But niche down and get clarity on how that you can impact a smaller market. But just don't let your small business keep you small-minded, which is a Brendon Burchard quote. So your unique market, your unique message. What is your unique message, right? Figure out what that is. And like, you know, Damon John, who we've done some stuff with, Damon says, you know, in his book, Power of Broke, if you can't define your unique message in less than 5 words, you're, you know, missing the boat, right? So I encourage you, think clearly about how you can communicate your unique message, your unique method. What is the unique method? All of us have a superpower of how we help, you know, in Tom's program with helping you develop your online course and sell that on, he has a unique method to be able to help you do that, right? And then what is your unique offer overall that you can be marketing or promoting, etc.? Dan Sullivan says it really well. If you name the game, you own the game. So part of this is simply going through each of these layers and naming your game, and therefore just by naming it and now communicating it, especially if you can name it related to what problem does it solve, you win. Anyway, there's more to this, but that's a 12 or 14 minute overview, and I, you know, could certainly go deeper and with other stuff, but there you go. How's that, Tom?
That was great. I think we're going to bring Dan back on because I think this show is enough for people to be like, hold on a second. Like, I need to rewind this at least 3 or 4 times to figure this out. You know? So I think it's enough. But Dan, I really appreciate you coming on, and where can people find you?
Real easy. We have an on-demand training that we rotate just depending on, you know, what's going on. We like to put the most cutting-edge strategies that we're working with in our clients in real time. So you can go to championbusinessblueprint.com. That's championbusinessblueprint.com. Right now, our current version is the unusual 3-step social media method to triple your business without more staff, more costs, or actually doing wasteful social media posts. So you can take advantage of that 100% free training. You can also check out our podcast. We have over 200 hours of insights, wisdom, strategies from the top experts and leaders in our relationship and our community at growthtofreedom.com.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.